Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on the US labor market. Last week, we had a huge range of data released, including the monthly employment report, the ADP, which looks at the private sector payroll data. We had the job openings data, the weekly jobless claims, so quite a wide range of information that helps us to understand what the labor market is doing relating to the month of August. And obviously, over the last 4 months, there's been a distinct weakening of US labor market conditions. So I think we should spend some time putting that within the context of where the US economy is heading and the outlook for inflation and interest rates. The rest of the data, not significant, particularly in South Africa, not a huge array of data. So I think we can skip the discussion on South Africa and simply focus on what's happening to US labor market conditions. So let's start with the discussion of the US's main labor market report for the month of August. During the month, they created only 22,000 jobs. That was way below expectations. The market was thinking they would create somewhere between 70 and 75,000 jobs, so a significant miss to the downside. In addition, if you look at the previous 2 months' data, they revised down the employment numbers by over 20,000. And so you end up with a strange outcome for the month of June. So we're going back 2 months. For the month of June, the data now shows that the US lost 13,000 jobs in that month. But when that was initially reported, they reported that the US created 147,000 jobs in that month. So that's a significant downward revision in recent months. And clearly, it paints a completely different picture of what's happening in the US labor market. So if we average out the employment gains over the past 4 months, it turns out that that is only 27,000 jobs a month, which is way below what they were creating just 6 months ago, where they were easily adding 100, 150,000 jobs every month. So the US labor market has clearly softened. And when we break down that, it softened across a range of sectors. It's not as if it's just one area. Most of the economic sectors have shown some sort of weakness. Now, I think that weakness relates to a wait and see approach by US companies. In other words, while the tariffs were being negotiated, I think US companies simply said, we're unsure about where this is going, we're unsure about it, what it means for economic activity, so let's not go and hire a whole lot of people while we've got this heightened degree of uncertainty. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. And so you've seen the labor market soften. We haven't got to the point where US companies are now scaling back employment in a very meaningful way. And so we're not getting widespread job cuts. We're simply getting a holding back on any employment plans. If we look at the other employment data that was released, it paints a similar picture where we've seen the number of job openings move lower. It still remains at a decent level, but it has been trending down. If I look at the ADP private sector survey of employment, that has clearly weakened in recent months. If we look at the number of people that are considered to be long-term unemployed, in other words, they've been unemployed for more than 6 months, that number has moved up considerably. So there's a range of indicators suggesting that the US labor market is softening. But I think it's important to highlight that at this stage, it's a softening of the labor market, not a collapse, not a move into widespread job cuts that would then lead to a recession. So what does this all mean for US economic growth? Obviously, it puts the economy under pressure, and we've already seen that in some of the data. And at this stage, we're looking at a growth rate for 2025 of about 1.5%. And if you consider that at the start of the year, before Trump was elected, there was an expectation that the US economy would grow at about 2.5% this year. So Trump's various tariff initiatives and policy uncertainty has really reduced the growth rate by net 1%, which is considerable. It's also going to lead to an increase in inflation, and we can already see that in some of the pricing. We'll get further updates this week. But there's no doubt that inflationary pressure is building up in the US, and I think that the US's headline inflation rate will move above 3%. In other words, it'll move further away from the target. Fortunately, I think the Federal Reserve will continue to look to cut interest rates. We're expecting a cut of 25 basis points on the 17th of September, and then another cut later in this year, probably in December, and further cuts next year. So I think it's important to understand that the Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates even though inflation is moving higher. And the reason is that I think most people believe that the increase in inflation is likely to be temporary. At this stage, we don't expect that upward move in inflation is going to become entrenched and therefore create a self-reinforcing cycle. Instead, we think the upward drift is mostly related to tariffs and therefore creates a once-off price shock. But once it's in the data, it shouldn't repeat on an ongoing basis, and therefore beyond the next 12 months, you should see inflation continue to subside and move closer to that 2%, which would then allow for a even further cut in US interest rates. So I think at this stage, we think most of the damage from the tariffs is really going to be seen in a weakening of the US economy, a hesitancy amongst businesses to employ more people, and some upward drifting inflation that's hopefully temporary. But it could all have been obviously avoided, right? If the whole tariff debate hadn't been embarked on, or the tariff announcements had not materialized, and the Trump administration had simply said, we're leaving tariffs exactly where they were. I truly believe the US economy would have been in a significantly better position than it is at the moment. And I certainly don't think that the tariffs are going to revitalize US manufacturing in a very substantial way. Obviously, you would anticipate that there might be some uplift in US domestic production because of the higher tariffs, but I don't think it's going to be enough to change the overall dynamic of the US manufacturing sector, and you're still going to end up with a sector that is fundamentally a hell of a lot smaller than what it was 10 or 15 years ago. And I think that's just the reality of global competition and global trade and the high cost of doing business in the US. So the employment data overall continues to be disappointing. The market obviously didn't particularly like the outcome of that. There is a concern that even though the Fed is cutting interest rates or expected to cut rates, that may not be sufficient in the short term to offset the moderation in the labor market. And obviously we're going to have to wait and see if that materializes. But I think what will help is the one big beautiful bill that gets already been introduced, but it would have more of an effect early next year, and we'll see some stimulus as a consequence of that. Some interest rate cuts, that would certainly help at the margin. And then, as I say, I think that the US manufacturing sector should derive some benefit from the increased in import duties that could create some uplift in activity, possibly even manufacturing employment. And so the net result is next year, we think the growth rate improves at this stage to about 1.8%, which is still not back to where it was and the 10-year average of 2.5%, but better than where they currently are tracking, which is around 1.5%. Hope that makes some sense. And obviously, we'll look to update the labor market as the data comes in, because it's a critical component to the overall performance of the US economy. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.